KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Did you say I've got a lot to learn? Well, don't think I'm trying not to learn. Since this is the perfect spot to learn. Teach me tonight. Let's start with the ABC of it. Roll right down to the XYZ of it. Help me solve the mystery of it. Teach me tonight. The sky's a blackboard high above you. If a shooting star goes by, I'll use that star to write I love you. A thousand times across the sky, one thing isn't very clear, my love. Should the teacher stand so near, my love? Graduation's almost here, my love. Come on and teach me tonight.
K108, and well, as she said, graduation's almost here. So yeah, that's true. May 23rd. I know McKinley graduates on that date. But anyway, this is the second hour of the Carol Cox being here this morning sitting in for Tina Quizon on the Global Entrepreneurs, and we have a special guest we're going to introduce in just a moment. His name is Bruce Wilson. From Talk to Action, and we'll be getting to him in just a moment. Right now, here's Carol.
All righty, that was Miss Dinah Shores, Dinah Washington, I'm sorry. Teach me tonight. I want to thank all of you for joining me again, and this is a special edition of the Carol Cox Show, sitting in for Tina Quizon's Global Entrepreneurism. And Tina is right at in South Korea, and we'll be making her way back home, and she asked me to let you know that she got quite a bit. This was a global summit spotlighting opportunities for showcasing towards green growth and business for the environment, put on by some really heavy hitters in the United Nations, UNEP, and what have you. So tune in next week, and I'm sure she will fill you in. But today, I have Mr. Bruce Wilson of Talk to Action. And his website is talk2.org, and that's the number 2. And you can find this link to Mr. Wilson's webpage on my page at carolcox.com, carolcox.com. Bruce, good morning, and I won't even bother to tell them what we're going to talk about. I'll let you share with us, and it's religion-based, and some of the issues about our local politicians and their involvement. So welcome aboard, and thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks, Carol, for having me on, and good morning. It's three in the afternoon here where I am in around Boston, Massachusetts. So, yeah, I research religion and politics, and I guess about 3 months ago I happened across what I thought was a huge Hawaii story, and yes, I do believe it is. And the occasion of it was finding a web page of videos, a lot of them, from a big conference held in Argentina in 2008. And there were people who are directly associated with Duke Ioannidis talking about how they're transforming the state of Hawaii. And at the same conference, there are also people talking about how they're transforming the African nation of Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked into this and wound up eventually finding Duke Ioannidis at one of these conferences in 2006, at which he proclaimed that Ioannidis actually took time off from his re-election campaign in October 2006 to travel. Excuse me, it was October or November. I'll have to check the date, but to travel to Argentina, a round trip of about 3,000 miles, and there's footage from that. I have footage from that conference of Ioannidis praying with the First Lady of Uganda, holding her hand, praying, and around the table with a bunch of other people, and Ioannidis stating that he had to travel approximately 9,000 miles away from home to understand what's happening in Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
So this would all seem very mysterious to your listeners in Hawaii, I suspect. But that was my point of entry, and it seemed so incongruous that I dug and found out that a number of politicians in Hawaii seem to be intimately involved with this movement, such that your state senator, Norman Sakamoto, attended that same conference in Argentina. It's around the city of Mar del Plata, and Sakamoto attended that same conference as Ioannidis in 2006, as did Gary Aquino.
City Councilman Gary Aquino?
Yes. And then there's a glowing testimony by Aquino on the website of the evangelical ministry that hosts these conferences. Aquino is he's glowing with praise. He was there with his wife. And but these three politicians also show up in a documentary video that's made by the branch of this Argentine ministry, Transformation Hawaii, which has popped up in a number of news stories in major Hawaii papers. Well, that in 2007, that became an official chapter of something called the International Transformation Network,
mm-hmm.
Whose head, Ed Silvoso, it can be found meeting with world leaders such as the president of the Philippines, Gloria Macapagal Arroyo, or the First Lady of Uganda, Janet Museveni, her husband, Yoweri Museveni. So, but Ed Silvoso also could be found in November 7th, 2009, blessing and anointing Lieutenant Governor Duke Ioannidis, and it was reciprocal. Ioannidis blessed Ed Silvoso and his International Transformation Network, and it was an elaborate ceremony, it like a coronation. And I've got video of this that I know you'll be linking to on your website.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that the listeners would know that if they go to carolcox.com, you can view the videos that Bruce has compiled, and these are videos shot by ITN primarily, correct, Bruce?
Yes, they are. It's so, promotional.
So this is the actual people themselves, the ITN, the International Transformation Network. Mm-hmm. And again, so we'd be clear now, you've documented that City Councilman Gary Aquino, State Senator Norman Sakamoto, and Lieutenant Governor Duke Ioannidis participated in Argentina and with these and have been seen with Museveni, the First Lady of Museveni from Uganda. And let's talk about why is that important, or what causes you concern, and why would listeners be caring about this? What's this Uganda tie? What goes on there?
The International Transformation Network. It holds it holds Uganda up as a shining model of what they want to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
And Uganda has been a human rights disaster for a long time. The country was one of three which invaded the People's Republic of the Congo, resulting in a war that killed more civilians than any war since World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And then Uganda also, about 20 years ago, rounded up some say up to 2 million of people of one particular tribe, the Acholi, in northern Uganda. And now, most recently, there's been a bill before the Ugandan parliament that would allow for the execution of gay and HIV-positive Ugandans, and also turn Uganda into an anti-gay police state by requiring that an informant police state, mm-hmm. by requiring that Ugandan citizens report suspected homosexual activity, and the penalty for not doing so is 3 years in jail. So that's where Uganda is at now. So, but the International Transformation Network, it proudly holds Uganda up as a model for what they want to achieve. And they want to achieve that the total theocratic evangelical Christian domination of all sectors of society.
Mm-hmm. So it would be easy to conclude that by just not guilt by association, but it seems that Iona and Sakamoto and Okino share these same views and have been embracing and being blessed and anointed by the First Lady, at least Iona. Now, you've put them in the same place, on the same stage, is that correct?
Yeah, they're at the same conferences,
mm-hmm.
Numerous times,
mm-hmm.
at conferences, in at least one in Argentina, the three, and then the three could also be found at an International Transformation Network conference, the first big one, I believe, in Hawaii, at the Neil Bladesdale Center in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
Both Okino, Sakamoto, and Duke Onaka were up on stage, and there's footage of that praying together.
Mm-hmm.
And Ed Silvoso, the head of the ITN, was really officiating the whole event.
Mm-hmm.
And during that event, he blessed people gathered who and anointed them as marketplace ministers. And the idea of that is that wherever you are, if you're a politician or a business person or whomever, whatever your sector of work is, you are ministering to those around you. So you can see where that gets into a conflict,
mm-hmm.
if one is a politician.
Mm-hmm.
So the three men were also, I have to check at least Iona and Okino, so we can see if Sakamoto were there, were at a 2008 ITN conference that was at the Hawaii Convention Center.
Mm-hmm.
But there are numerous associations. Okino contributed a chapter to a book that had the foreword by Ed Silvoso, and chapters written by a number of Transformation Hawaii people,
mm-hmm.
the top leadership.
Mm-hmm.
So in the associations, there's no question as to the associations of these people. Akino and Sakamoto and Iona are, in reality, enthusiastic leaders in this Transformation Hawaii entity, which in turn is an official chapter of the International Transformation Network.
Mm-hmm. So, go ahead.
Oh, no.
Now, there's one other politician, prominent politician, that is associated with this and have been on the same stage with Ed Silvoso and the ITN, and that's City Mayor Mufi Hanneman. And
Yes.
So that's four major city councilmen, state senator, lieutenant governor, and the mayor being in the same place, and we want to make sure that people don't just think we're saying you're guilty by association, but it is what the ITN stands for, and then you're going to provide us more insight and in-depth comments on that. But what was Mufi Hanneman's role in this?
Well, I haven't been able to ascertain that, except that I've located Hanneman at two of these ITN conferences in 2005 and 2008, and I have one indication that I don't think I can verify it. an internet posting in Ed Silvoso's name, which says that Cal Chinen, who's one of the leaders of this transformation Hawaii effort, and is the pastor of the Mauna Loa, I think that, I'm hoping I pronounced that right, the Mauna Loa Gardens Church. I located a post which in Silvoso's name, which states that Chinen is discipling. Actually, the word used was shepherding.
Uh-huh.
Be correct. Chinen was shepherding both Iona and Mufi Hanuman and several unnamed members of Hawaii senators or Congress members.
Right. Now,
so and that's just one data point, but there are lots of these. Out of the four, Iona, Sakamoto, and Okino are enthusiastic, very enthusiastic participants in Transformation Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And I don't have as much evidence of Hanuman being so wrapped up. I suspect he's at least along for the ride, but I do know that he shows up at anti-same-sex marriage and anti-abortion. At least anti-same-sex marriage rallies with mm-hmm. the Transformation Hawaii people.
Right.
So it's hard to tell the full extent of how involved Hanuman is.
Right.
But he's somewhat involved, at least.
I have a caller for you, Bruce. Pat, good morning. Are you up for questions, Bruce?
Oh, sure.
Good morning,
good
Pat.
Morning.
How are
good
you?
Morning.
Yes.
Fine. I've been following, I'm here in Hawaii, and I've been following Bruce Wilson's work, and most recently saw an article, an op-ed that was in the Garden Isle News on April 10th that was written by UH professor Cap Sands. And Cap Sands really made a good point about the connection between the folks in Transformation Hawaii, those who Bruce just mentioned, like Duke Iona, Norm Sakamoto, and Gary Okino, and their role in the anti-civil unions movement here in Hawaii, especially in trying to put a stop on HB 444, which is still before the legislature and which we're hoping we'll be able to get a vote on before April 29th, this Thursday. But it's really disturbing to me to see the extent to which the religious folks like Iona, Sakamoto, and Okino have such a grasp of power over the legislature. Mm-hmm. In terms of opposing civil unions because they say it's contrary to their religious beliefs. And mm-hmm. I really am a strong supporter of the separation of church and state and say, you know, civil unions is not marriage. It has nothing to do with it. And why can't the legislature go ahead and do its democratic duty, which is to support equal rights, benefits, and protections to same-sex couples?
Right, right. Well, good. I my concerns is that Okino, Hanuman, and all of them have a daily say in the daily life of people that are either affected with HIV or sickened or just simply gay
right.
or whatever. And they, in turn, not disclosing their real true beliefs and their anti-gay and what have you, and they're actively
right.
pursuing. So
right.
what will they do? Will they be fair in making legislation for housing,
right.
for treatment?
Right.
And,
right.
And why would they make it better for someone that's sick or vote for something that's going to treat someone if they're out against it, going to Argentina, speaking out against it?
Right. I mean, for me, to see the way that all of those folks, Iona, Sakamoto, Okino, and sometimes even Mufi Hanuman and the way he speaks out about lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender people, that their negativity towards that community is based on their religious beliefs. And when you raise the question of fairness, Mm-hmm. I think that's exactly what is on the minds of many of us, about how the LGBT community is being treated. I mean, Transformation Hawaii says, you know, essentially in messages that are sent out, they are essentially saying we are like the devil.
Right.
In a message that I saw on Friday that came out from Hawaii Family Forum, which is sort of in the same loop as Transformation Hawaii. I mean, they refer to people who were supporting HB 444 as the devils roaming the halls of the Capitol. And I really object to that. That is, that, you know, I in my mind, draw the connection between what they're saying about the LGBT community in Hawaii and what their parent organization, IPN, is saying about homosexuals in Uganda.
Right.
And you know, there, before the legislature, is a bill that would kill people
for being
homosexual. And you know that they have totally gutted the kind of treatment of HIV in that country of Uganda, and essentially what they want to do is just get rid of people who have HIV.
Right. Well, Bruce,
sure.
and Pat, you know, the we'll get back to Bruce here. One of the things is, why should anyone be worried about this? Well, today they're attacking the gay and lesbian community. Tomorrow it'll be interracial community. The next day it'll be Catholics, because they are eliminationists. Unless you are born again Christian, they're going to, you're all sitting ducks. And we are all, and that's what's alarming. And Bruce, any comments? And also I have Professor Kathleen Sands on the phone. So,
right,
Pat, thank you for your comments, Pat.
Thank you very much, Carol.
Aloha.
I appreciate your addressing this issue.
Aloha.
Well, if I can just chime in a little bit about the eliminationism. There's lots of evidence of this, including the association of the ITN with leadership at the highest levels in Uganda. But also, I've got footage from the 2008 ITN conference I mentioned in Argentina, of Edson Voso making a comparison, saying that his movement was like an airplane, which was infested with rats in the non-pressurized part of the plane. And Voso told people at the conference they should ascend as fast as they could to a cruising altitude where the air was so thin the rats would die. Then, in a session immediately following that, these are a bunch of short afternoon sessions at the conference, Hawaii public school principal Susan Mokahi got up and proceeded to liken parents who complained about her behavior as a principal, presumably for inserting her form of Christianity into the school she was over. Mokahi referred to parents making those complaints as rats.
Mm-hmm.
And stated that, well, when you start to do something in the public school system, the rats start to act out. So this is eliminationist language. I mean, the Nazis likened Jews in Germany to rats.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll leave it at that.
Well, I guess this is the time to invite Ms. Sands. Good
That's
morning.
Right. Hello.
Good morning. You know Bruce well, and thank you for calling in. And what's your comments, or what do you have to share with us?
Yeah, here's my comments, just to amplify what Bruce and Pat have been saying. The key to International Transformation Network is a particular passage from the New Testament, Matthew 28:19. And in that passage it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them," and so forth. And the key to IPN is that they take that word nation quite literally to mean government.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the violation of our Constitution comes in. People who are religious conservatives are quite right to observe that the expression separation of church and state is not in the Constitution.
Is it Dr. Sands?
Yes, correct.
Now, if you would just take a moment to share with the people what's your background, so they don't confuse you with just someone having an opinion. Would be so kind to do that.
Sure. My training is as a Christian theologian. I have a PhD in Christian theology, and for the past decade or so, I've been studying religion and law in the United States, and I teach in the American Studies Department at the University of Hawaii at Manoa.
Okay. Well, good. Okay, go ahead. I want to make sure when we give people information, they know how to reference it and who to attribute it to.
And
thank you.
So what I was saying was that the expression separation of church and state, as people like Duke Iona and others will often say, is not in the Constitution. That's quite correct. But the Constitution is extremely clear. And the Supreme Court, even the most conservative people on the Supreme Court, are very clear that what is absolutely prohibited is the establishment of a particular religion or particular sectarian point of view. The religious point of view fostered by the IPN is Christian, so that's obviously one particular religion and not another. But also, it's not just Christian, it's a very particular, very sectarian view of Christianity. For example, the view that nobody can be saved if they're not Christian. That is a view not shared by most Catholics and not shared, for instance, by mainline Protestants. So it's a very particular, very sectarian point of view. And here's my last point. What the current state of interpretation of the Establishment Clause in the Supreme Court, what it really says is that the government may not do anything that sends the message that the government endorses a particular religion and that members of any particular religion are more members of the political community, while people who do not share those beliefs are not members of the political community.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what Transformation Hawaii, that's where they fail. And finally, it's not just a Republican like Iona. As you guys have noted, there are several Democrats involved as well. So it's quite a dangerous movement.
Right. This isn't about partisan. It's about being right and cautious to see.
It's about the Constitution, actually.
Right. Now, why should we worry? Should we be concerned when Duke Iona say that he is dedicating the state of Hawaii to the Lord, or I'm paraphrasing, to God, and dedicating the school, the children and our schools and the government to the Lord?
That's a perfect example, and it's one of the examples that I mentioned in my recent letter. So what the Supreme Court says is that the government may not send the message that certain people, because of their beliefs, are insiders and certain people are not, may not send that message. So you can bet that when Duke Iona sent that message from Castle High School, simulcast to 77 other locations, including many public schools, that kids who were not Christians certainly got the message that they did not belong to the state of Hawaii, to the political community here, the way these Christian kids do, and even Christian kids who don't hold to that particular sectarian view of Christianity got that message. So that was a very clear violation of the Constitution, mm-hmm. and Duke Iona must know that.
Yeah. Well, I've been in that predicament personally when I was a child. I felt
right?
out of
mm-hmm.
place. I have felt that. So,
mm-hmm.
Firsthand. But,
mm-hmm.
Bruce, what you have anything to add into that, this particular point?
Well, this is clearly Kath's professional specialization, and not mine. So I think she's established the final word on that as far as what we're talking about here. But do you want me to contextualize this movement some more? In other words,
mm-hmm.
How do you think that where should we take it for your listenership?
Basically, they woke up this morning and I'm hitting them with a stick. So whatever you can to articulate and inform them, because I want to be very cautious that we don't engage them in thinking that this is about, we don't want God and our government, we don't want church. We don't want a lieutenant governor and a state senator who sits and make legislation that is bigoted toward any one people, because if you have that kind of freedom, I'm tomorrow as a candidate to be impacted by this bad legislation or anyone or any group. So whatever you can do to enlighten the listeners out there.
Well, to follow up on the point about the extreme sectarian nature of this movement, I want to read you a brief passage from a book that was written by the man who's really Ed Sovoso's religious superior. Ed Sovoso is he's an apostle in an entity called the International Coalition of Apostles, and it's an official organization. Members have to pay yearly dues, and is led by a man named C. Peter Wagner, and I don't want to go into details about who he is more than that right now, but so this is from one of Peter Wagner's books written in 1999 called hardcore idolatry facing the facts.
Mm-hmm.
So on page 38 and 39, Wagner is down with Ned Silvoso and another evangelist named Cindy Jacobs in an Argentine city, Resistencia. And they're conducting a revival there. And in the book, Wagner describes how he and his fellows convince people who are gathering for a revival to bring supposedly evil objects to be burnt. And so what sort of items were on the burn list? Well, okay, the list includes pictures and statues of Catholic saints, books of Mormon, pictures of former lovers, pornographic material, fetishes, drugs, Ouija boards, zodiac charms, good luck symbols, crystals for healing, amulets, talismans, tarot cards, witch dolls, voodoo items, love potions, books of magic, totem poles, certain pieces of jewelry, objects of Freemasonry, horoscopes, gargoyles, native art, foreign souvenirs, and what have you. So they gather all these, people bring all these items, and throw them into a 55-gallon drum, and they pour gasoline over the items and set it on fire. And that about sums it up, except that Wagner goes on to say, this was a major power encounter, because the witches and warlocks had surrounded the area and done their occult sacrifices, killing animals, burning incense, and saying the most powerful curses they could muster towards the evangelists. When the flames shot up, a woman right behind Doris, that's Wagner's wife, screamed and manifested a demon, which Doris immediately cast out. Now, another aspect of this movement that your listeners should understand is that it's people in it think the world is crawling with demons, and the idea that homosexuals are possessed by demons is part of the movement's doctrine, but there are a lot of examples of demon possession are everywhere. The idea is that even minor maladies such as headaches or cigarette smoking or cigarette addictions and minor maladies are also the result of demon possession. It's a radically different way of looking at the world.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the movement that has its hooks into these major politicians in Hawaii. It's so different from what people might think of as Christianity. It might as well have been dropped. It might as well have been planted here by visiting aliens. There are almost no reference points for most people.
Okay.
But it is eliminationist.
Wow. Well, Dr. Sands, what here locally? What do you see in the fabric of things? How is it? You said a number of other local politicians. Did we miss some of them? Is there others that we should know about?
The ones that I'm aware of are the ones that that have already been been mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
I know that it's a real aim of Transformation Hawaii to draw in politicians from across the board, elected officials from across
mm-hmm.
the board.
And one of the things that strikes me strange here is that each one of the politicians that's involved is seeking higher office. Hanneman is potentially seeking, undeclared, but for all intents and purposes, looking to be governor. So is Iona. And Okino is running for, is it State House? He's competing with Blake O'Shiro.
Mm-hmm.
And then Norman Sakamoto is from senator. He wishes to go to the lieutenant governor.
Mm-hmm.
What? Isn't that funny? The four of them involved in this so intimately. And in turn, they're seeking to elevate themselves? Is that how they're going to assure that they dedicate our government?
It's very clear that this is a recruiting tool, that this is an effort to rally up passionate feelings, much like, you know, the Tea Party sort of phenomenon that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a movement in which, as Bruce was just describing, the world is sharply divided into good and evil,
mm-hmm.
into allies and enemies. And there is no in-between. There is, as Reverend Wayne Cordero said last year, talking about civil unions, there is no neutrality. There is no room for compromise.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the basis of democracy, the basis of a democratic process, is that we do not ask or require the government to be religion. We do not require the government or want it to cover all areas of life or to explain the meaning of life. And we do not require each other to agree on fundamental matters of belief.
Mm-hmm.
But this sort of way of dividing the world into good and evil does create, as Bruce has been saying, an Armageddon battleground sort of mentality that appeals to people who feel that the world has become incomprehensible,
mm-hmm.
and who feel that they have become embattled in the world, and that they literally can't make sense of the world. But it is a very inevitably, inexorably destructive way to approach society, and it is absolutely anti-democratic in its basic ethos.
Well, what's coming to mind for me, just let's say, hypothetically or theoretically, I belong to a certain faith and I wish to build a temple.
Yeah.
And I have now the mayor who and the governor who can fight me or have control over the permitting process. And if that governor or mayor is already predisposed that and parted to an organization that think that we're all ignorant and if we're not of their faith, then we don't belong here.
Yeah.
Can you imagine my temple being denied just through the act of permitting process?
I can imagine that being attempted, but it would be so wildly illegal and unconstitutional it's hard to imagine. And yet what Duke Iona did at Castle High School is wildly unconstitutional, has already been explicitly refused
right.
by the Supreme Court. So one almost feels that anything could happen, or at least anything could be attempted in Hawaii. And that to me is very dreadful.
Well, the reason I draw that example, it is quite possible and one of the easiest ways to stymie. And
yeah.
In fact, because
sure.
The mayor, for example, appoints the director of the Department of Planning and Permitting. So who can make your life hell in getting a permit, number
sure.
one, or a variance, or what have you.
Sure.
And the governor handles the Office of Environmental Quality.
Yes.
So you can see how easily it is if they're already committed and predisposed.
Sure.
So
and it wouldn't
understand.
Be done. It wouldn't be done on. Nobody would say, "Well, we're doing this because we don't like your religion."
Of course.
Other reasons would be come up with. Would be produced. Another good example of this is at a rally against civil unions last year, when Dennis Arakaki, the leader of the anti-civil union forces called Family Forum, introducing Duke Iona, who is the headliner. This rally was done at the Capitol, and Arakaki pointed to the Capitol and said to the gathered thousands, "This is the Lord's house. This is God's house." And everybody knew what he meant. He didn't
mm-hmm.
mean this is a place where justice should be done. He meant this belongs to evangelical Christianity, because these are people who explicitly teach that Christ is the only way to salvation.
Mm-hmm.
So they were claiming that space under the control of a very particular religious organization and viewpoint, and that is not acceptable.
Right. I have a question for the two of you, and Bruce, you and I touched on it lightly. Gary Occhino, in one of his writings, and we're going to post that also, or you can Google Gary Occhino and Ed Silvoso, and he mentioned, he was speaking of Kellerman, a gentleman named Kellerman, and he said he's a Jew to the Lord. Do either of you know what that means? I'm trying to figure that out.
Well, I believe he was referring to the mayor of Buenos Aires,
mm-hmm.
Who is in this movement, and so Ed Silvoso's movement has it's hooked into major politicians in various places around the world, and
mm-hmm.
they've made major inroads into Argentina and talk about it. So maybe your listeners should understand that this is this international transformation entity. It's got these operations going on in various places, not everywhere, a limited number of places, and people at the ITN conventions talk about their specific operations, whether they be in Salinas, California, or Newark, New Jersey, or Hawaii, or Uganda. So Tellerman is just... I think in that case, the import was that Tellerman, who actually is Jewish, can be in the movement, be an evangelical Christian, and yet still be Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way of making the theology feel more welcome for someone who's Jewish.
Wow.
Well,
what other things, there's a December 8, 2004 at Castle High School, Dr. Sand spoke about, and then you've talked about the Constitution. Is there anything else, just we as people, both gay, lesbian, those that support civil union, should we be concerned with when it comes to democracy and having a clean government? Is there anything else you can share with us in that sense?
You're asking, let me see if I understand your question. Are you saying, are there other things about which we should be concerned?
Right, with this group of people, how they're, you know, we're talking about the government and what have you, and
yeah.
Separation
well,
of church and state. What
sure, I mean, you know, I think that we should be very concerned within the context of Transformation Hawaii with our public schools, with what will be permitted to be taught in our public schools or not permitted to be taught in our public schools. I think that we could anticipate pitched battles over sex education, pitched battles over whether or not kids get to learn and respect other religious traditions, pitched battles over probably the teaching of evolution,
mm-hmm.
Pitched battles over how gay families are handled in public schools. I think that those and many other things could come up, and that we would have to anticipate mm-hmm. a real shutdown of pluralism and of democratic processes around those issues. So I think there's a whole bunch of stuff that yeah. that is endangered by this movement. It's not just gay rights at all, even though gay rights right now in Hawaii mm-hmm. is the one that they are using for the rallying point. But let me just add, it's truly horrible for a group like Transformation Hawaii to take a group of people who are subjected to ostracism and discrimination like gay and lesbian people and use that as a rallying point for their own popularity. That's truly a horrible thing, and that is precisely what's being done to build political power base on the part of these politicians we've been mentioning.
I see. Well, that was because the general public is not going to be suspecting or think, okay, it's just a movement and religious people, but not knowing how they're putting their tentacles in everything and stopping, but the
right.
rallying point is get everybody in a fever pitch over the gay,
right.
so-called, quote, gay movement or what have you, when in reality they're trying to conquer the world, you and me.
Right.
Yeah.
Can I just add one little
yeah.
point here?
Yeah.
That in the minds of most people, the word religion signals something that is very, very benign. And for many people, it also signals something that is commonly shared, some sort of common fund of beliefs. And that's what Transformation Hawaii would have us believe, that all they're doing is advancing things that any decent person should want. But that's just not true. What they're all about is advancing their political agenda on issues that are profoundly controverted, and that's where the trick, that's where the sleight of hand is occurring.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. To give your listeners, a sense of how far out this is, how sectarian. I've got footage of Cal Chenin from, I believe, 2007, and Chenin appears to be fairly close to Dukuyana. They show up at multiple conferences side by side. Chenin, in this footage I have, it's a conversation with a couple of other evangelical pastors, younger ones, under Chenin's tutelage. Chenin talks about admiringly about how one of Ed Silvoso's people has managed in one major suburb, I believe, of Buenos Aires, to have to abolish Christmas trees and Santa Claus from Christmas. And oh, they've also done away with the mentality is extreme. One would have to go back to the Puritans to find something analogous, I would think. But then in this movement, the idea is that Catholicism isn't really a valid form of Christianity, and nor are mainline Protestant denominations. And things devolve from there, such that, okay, it starts there, but when you get to Islam or Buddhism or any of the Eastern religions, they're all positively under the sway of the devil, no question. So given that's the mentality of the movement, and that's what Ed Silvoso writes in his books, and so at the 2009 Hawaii conference I mentioned, Iona clearly endorsed Ed Silvoso in his ITN. He said so, and he was endorsed in return. Well, so right there, you have, as Kath has mentioned, in my conversations with her, you have a religious tendency that says any other reform belief is invalid, and if not ill, just invalid, positively under sway of the devil. Mm-hmm. And to give you an idea where this goes, One of Ed Silvosa's fellow apostles is a man, a Guatemalan lawyer and evangelist named Harold Caballeros. Caballeros is on public record publicly endorsing the work in Guatemala of church-based, government-backed death squads. And this came out in a conversation, I believe, in an interview for the New York Times. And later, Silvoso on Guatemalan TV reiterated the point and said yes. And that, so there's no question, and it comes out in his writings, too. Caballeros also says that Mayan Indians, who are predominantly Catholic, have made a pact with the devil because they're holding on to their old native ways.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where things go. You can see outside the U.S. where this movement gets a lot of power. It's brutally eliminationist in a way that would be almost incomprehensible to most Americans.
Mm-hmm.
So there's Guatemala and there's Uganda where it's backing legislation that would eliminate a whole sector of Ugandan society.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I think I've been emphatic enough there.
Well, you've done an excellent job in collecting and assembling, and Dr. Sands, I will personally thank you for reaching out and watching these things, because I'm good at investigating, and I couldn't follow the trail, but you've done an excellent job, and they can see this. Bruce, they can go to your website, correct?
Yes.
They can get a link from carolcox.com. But what is your website, and how would one contact you through email, the two of you?
There's a contact email there on the website, you could put up my email contact on your site. And also,
okay.
The website address is www.talk2action. That's talk with a number 2 and then action. .org. So it's talktoaction.org.
Mm-hmm. And Dr. Sands, for you, contact information. And I must apologize for not calling you. I read his report, and I had told him we would do something later, another show, and that'll be soon, because
sure.
It's the election season, and I want to try my darnest to inform people of who the real politician is, what he's really up to.
Sure. So my
mm-hmm.
is K M as in Mary Sands SANDS
mm-hmm.
at hawaii.edu.
Okay, and they can write you for questions or
sure they can. Yep, this is my field of expertise, so I can help people with the establishment clause, religion clause issue.
Okay, yeah, I don't want them heard from me and just go to my website and
right.
get it. But I the sources, but. When is a more convenient time for you two to return? Next week?
Oh, any next time week? For me.
You think it's worth you have things, or there's others out there? We'll have it up on the webpage. Would you be agreeable to coming back or inviting some of the other members in the community out there that will be impacted by this? And by the way, I'll take this time now to invite Lieutenant Duke Iona, Mufi Hanneman, Gary Okino, and Norman Sakamoto. There's my formal invitation, and I want to be fair and equal, and that's the extent of the invitation, and I will forward them a copy, a link to this, so that they can hear firsthand, and maybe offer some direct explanation as their involvement.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But when do you think next week you'd be up for it? I believe it might sound repetitive, but this is alarming, and I still haven't gotten a real gist of it, of how important this is, but I'm concerned.
There are whole other realms that we had that are about this, things going on in Hawaii that are also it could be covered. The way this movement is actually organizing in Hawaii and what it does, I think that your listeners would be fascinated and appalled to understand some of the ways that this movement has operated and gotten its hooks into Hawaii's institutions and schools.
And boy, what strikes me is the willingness, and they're so vibrant. I didn't know Okino was that prolific and verbose in his writings. He's
mm-hmm.
deceiving in his outward appearance, but when you read, you know, I'm saying, did he write this? Because it was absolutely, he's prolific and profuse, in fact. And then I see Iona, and I would never have suspected any of this. So thank you again.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having both of us on.
Well, anyway, again, if you're agreeable, next week, does that sound okay? Because I don't want to let this thing die, and I feel an importance. Intuitively, I'm thinking there's something more to be had here. Like, for example, when they travel, that they mix it with our state business.
Yes,
you know, all of those things, and I'll be asking those questions, and when they are having prayer in the state capitol, you know, what resources that they take from the Muslim community or the Jewish community or whomever, or the gay community in taxes, and then turn around and use it to talk against them and destroy them and fight the civil unions bill. So I'd like to ask from that standpoint. But so if it's agreeable, next Sunday, an early hour, if you agree to that, I would love to have you back.
Oh, that would be great. That would be wonderful.
You, Dr. Sands?
Next Sunday at this time, I believe, at this exact hour, I believe I will be in the air in transit back from returning from New York.
It'll be 8 o'clock. It's 1 hour earlier. My show starts, the original Carol Cox, goes at 8 o'clock.
And that's about 3 in the afternoon, I think,
okay.
New York time. Is that correct?
Yes.
So I think...
Well, if you can, we'll...
If I can, I would love to, and I will figure out my travel plans and contact you about
it. We'd love
it,
to have you.
I'd certainly like to, yeah.
And then we'll take up another subject later on church and state and what have
sure.
you. Let's do that, and the future has for us. So thank the two of you, and Bruce, thank you.
Thank you so
you're
much.
Very welcome.
And,
I'm honored to be on.
Alrighty. Aloha and mahalo for all of your help. And please go to carolcox.com and you can find the contacts there. And look at some of those videos. Don't take our word for it. And these are videos produced by. So thank you again. And aloha. Next week, Tina will be returning, as I said, and to bring some interesting things about the B4E United Nations meeting there in Seoul, South Korea. Thank you. Hey, that was for this song here is for Bruce Wilson, another Bruce Wilson out there in Ever Beach. Enjoyed the conversation with you yesterday, and stay tuned. So take care, Bruce, and thought I'd just play that for you and give you a little soulful thought. I know you have southern ties, so take care. Dinah Washington.
This is KWAI, Honolulu 1080 on the AM dial.